This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump is promising an announcement today on autism. The Washington Post reports the administration will suggest a link between Tylenol use during pregnancy and autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says it believes that independent science shows this is not true. The administration's also expected to tout cancer drug leucovorin as a potential treatment for autism. But autism expert David Mandel of the University of Pennsylvania says,
we need to do large-scale randomized trials before we can say with any certainty that this is a treatment that autistic children should receive.
Tens of thousands of people paid tribute to Charlie Kirk in an Arizona memorial service Sunday. President Trump spoke after Kirk's widow told the crowd she forgives the man who killed her husband because it's what Charlie would have done. The UN General Assembly begins today. The war in Gaza expected to be a main topic all week as several countries have now said they recognize a Palestinian state. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Better at Vegas, you know, 2.5 miles. So it just gives you the options to do that.
Third win this season for Ryan from the front row to lock into the round of eight. Josh Berry was second, followed by William Byron, Joey Logano, and Chase Elliott rounds out the top five. The bottom four drivers heading into the second race in this round are Ross Chastain, Austin Cindric, Tyler Reddick, and Bubba Wallace. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series is Kansas Speedway. Check it out Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on USA. You're on the final lap.
At Skechers, comfort is a technology. That's right, it doesn't just happen. You don't just make a shoe and hope it comes out comfortable. It takes research, innovations, compounds, engineering, and so many of the boring things we don't really want to get into. Because it gives us time to talk about the exciting stuff, your comfort. You see, Skechers want you to feel so comfortable you swear you're wearing pillows on your feet. So we have features like Skechers Air Cool Memory Foam that molds to your foot and wraps it in luxury. And Skechers has fits like Relax Fit, Stretch Fit, Wide Fit, Arch Fit, and so many more. All comfort technologies that make the shoe feel like it was custom-made just for your foot. Plus, we have hands-free Skechers Slip-ins technology, and this, folks, is a game-changer. This tech allows you to just step into your shoes and put them on. You don't have to bend down and struggle. You don't even have to touch them. That's ultimate convenience and comfort. So you see, comfort is a technology, and nobody, and I mean nobody, does comfort like Skechers. The comfort technology company. Find yours at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever comfortable footwear is sold.
Are you looking to get engaged or upgrade your center diamond? Hi, this is Scott Chalmers, and you don't want to miss this. With every eco-friendly and ethically sourced natural diamond purchased at Chalmers Jewelers, we'll give you the same weight in lab-created diamond earrings absolutely free. So when you want to buy a 1-carat natural diamond, you'll get 1-carat total weight lab-created diamond earrings free. Get 12 months interest-free today.
Chalmers Jewelers in Middleton
and Madison. Introducing the next generation of Chalmers Jewelers. My son and daughter, both graduate gemologists Garrett and Devin Chalmers.
The future of Chalmers Jewelers includes the incredible talent that artistically create your custom jewelry and face-to-face interactions with our customers.
Our amazing team will continue to uphold the values that our dad set to achieve from day one.
And that's truth in pricing.
Chalmers Jewelers in Middleton
and Madison.
You wake up one morning with pain you've never experienced before. It's not the mattress or your new shoes. In fact, it's probably your body needing nothing more than a gentle adjustment. That's why there's Health Journey Chiropractic. They'll put you on a healthy journey.
I'm Dr. Melissa Lures of Health Journey Chiropractic. Return to doing pain-free things that make you happy. Read about money-saving wellness memberships at healthjourneychiro.com. It's your health journey.
Overpaying for Botox or filler and getting results that don't match your expectations is a costly outcome that can leave you second-guessing. At Madison MediSpa, their doctor-led team lets your goals shape the plan, not the other way around. No overfilled, frozen face, no financial surprises at checkout, just natural results with honest pricing. Schedule your free consultation at MadisonMediSpa.com.
Madison MediSpa. Get the look you'll love with doctor-led treatments tailored to you. The Rich Eisen Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
I was sitting there saying the Ravens are without a doubt the best team in the NFL. And I was sitting there going, do the Bills need more weapons? What do they need? That's what I was thinking. And then a half an hour later, I was so stunned by what I saw. But you can't sit here and say the Ravens are less than. It's just every single January, and every Ravens fan knows this, or early February, if that's when the AFC Championship games that they played in occur in that month. It's always something.
1670 AM.
This official first day of fall, according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, today is packed full of potential. We'll take a look at that later in the hour. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you on a Monday morning. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Thanks for getting your week started with us. We've got a packed morning ahead. For starters, the countdown is on for World Dairy Expo. It's just around the corner, and we'll hear what's new this year from dairy farmers of Wisconsin. It's also harvest time in Wisconsin. I'm sure you've already noticed some of the tractors or other farm implements on the road. And if you haven't, you will soon. But are you prepared to share the road safely? We've got tips from the Wisconsin State Patrol coming up later in the hour. Before that, we're going to learn that pastures are thriving this fall. A grazing expert explains why this could be one of the best forage years in a decade. We're also going to get this week's forecast from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck, in just a little bit. But first, Wisconsin Farmers Union just returned from Washington, D.C. They'll tell us about the trip right after this.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy pumps that were designed more than 50 years ago do not meet today's large dairy farm requirements. Bopeller pumps by McFinn Technologies were born and patented this century with a unique and innovative design that ensures gentle, low shear pumping along with efficient, high capacity and long seal life. Bopeller pumps for all your applications will ensure your dairy is operating with 21st century technology. Bopeller is American innovation. Contact your dealer
today. Join our friends from Compeer and Pam Yonke at World Dairy Expo on Friday, October 3rd at 9:30 a.m. Compeer is dedicated to agriculture in rural America by providing financial services throughout 144 counties in the Midwest. Learn more at compeer.com.
Pam will continue her coverage of World Dairy Expo with BioVet and Amperio on Wednesday, October 1st at 9:30 a.m. at booths 1503 and 1504 in the exhibition hall. BioVet and Amperio are your trusted partners in animal health. Stop by or visit bio-vet.com.
A delegation of 18 Wisconsin Farmers Union members was in Washington, D.C. about a week ago. They joined about 250 other Farmers Union members from around the country to talk farm issues. I'm Bob Osel from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, led our state's delegation to the Capitol to talk to our elected representatives, and he feels those talks were at least somewhat fruitful.
The conversations that we had with our elected officials out there, you know, I think some real positives, certainly looking at the farm bill and getting it passed this year is still a really big question yet, because there might not be enough time in the legislative session to actually make it happen. But looking at some of the ideas that we were tossing around, especially looking at the LFPA program, the Local Fruits Purchasing Assistance Program, that got cut this last spring, there's a new bill that's being introduced right now, and we heard from some of the sponsors of that are not from Wisconsin, but Tony Weed, the 8th Congressional District Representative, is on the Ag Committee and had very positive messages to say about this new bill. So we're really hoping for our smallest farmers in this state that are dealing with vegetables and fruits might have something to look forward to.
Well, when we talk about agriculture, those feeding food programs are very, very important. But again, the 500-pound gorilla in the room, corn, soybeans, tariffs, exports, China, Russia, What kind of information did you get as far as what the Congress may be doing about that? And sounds to me like you're saying we're not going to get a farm bill during this session.
Yeah, you know, right now Chairman Thompson is wanting to introduce the farm bill again sometime in October. The biggest question mark is going to be what happens with this funding cycle that's going to end here September 30th. If they actually get that, something passed to keep the government funded, or if they're going to be having to go into a cycle and try to figure out that next steps, and that could take a while. The Senate side, they're waiting really to see what the House puts out. They tend to move a little bit faster than the House does on some issues, but not on all. So it's really, you know, who's going to do what first and what's going to be a part of that. Certainly looking at what's left in the Farm Bill, the language that they're using out there is Farm Bill 2.0. And, you know, the majority of the funding has been approved under the BBB, but we really need to look at making sure the conservation programs and other things that didn't get funded can be funded at the levels that they were or even at higher level. Because nothing that happens out in the country is getting cheaper at all. And if we don't have adequate funding for programs that farmers need to maintain their soil health and stream bank issues, we're going to be in trouble if we don't have the funding for it.
Darren Von Ruden with us, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, just back from Washington, D.C. And Darren, the one big beautiful bill contained some aspects of farming and farm funding that we normally have in a farm bill. How concerned are you that we're getting marginalized, so to speak, in agriculture, and you got part of a funding for agriculture in one bill, got part in a farm bill, but we don't have this unified farm bill. Going forward, how concerned are you that they're splintering agriculture off and agriculture is going to lose its voice, the small voice that it has right now in Washington, D.C.?
Very, 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 very concerned, I would say, because, you know, we need to have those relationships with our consuming constituents. And if we lose that, we're going to be in trouble to try to make sure that we can continue to get the funding that we need to help rural America continue to thrive. And certainly as you look at natural disasters and even just human-caused disasters such as tariffs, there's going to be a need for Congress to act on behalf of farmers. And you know, right now we're actually less than 0.5% of the population, and looking at that, Congress really doesn't need to pay attention to us. We certainly hear a lot in public rhetoric and political rhetoric that, you know, farmers are the most important thing. So you would think that we would, you know, have a voice, but yet when you look at the contributions that big businesses put in, they're getting what they want on a regular basis, and as the farm community goes, we just don't have those funds to compete in that process of lobbying. So, you know, we need to take our members to D.C. to make sure we still have that voice. But how long that voice is going to be heard is really a big question mark.
What do you feel were the positives that came out of your visit to Washington, D.C. with other Farmers Union members from all over the country?
Monday afternoon, we had a delegation that went to visit with the Department of Justice and looking at the antitrust issues and some of the things that are happening, you know, around the country with fewer and fewer companies that farmers get to deal with on both the sales side and on the purchasing side, and trying to make sure that the voices of farmers are heard to make sure that these companies are being held responsible for their actions. You know, the meat industry is one of those that we've really highlighted for many years already, and there's really only four big companies that are controlling all of the meat in the U.S., and the former DOJ under President Biden certainly made a top priority to look into that, and we're currently in the middle of a class action suit that's going to be beneficial to farmers, and we were really hoping to get some good news out of the current DOJ that they're going to continue that process and look at it. It seemed like there was a very good reception on our ideas from the folks that we talked to. But the biggest question that's still in that room is what kind of funding is going to be there, and will the President of the United States actually let them do work on antitrust issues?
the challenge going ahead. The input costs are going up. What we're getting for our production is going down. A lot of that has to do with tariffs and exports. Did you get a chance to visit with anybody from the U.S. Trade Representative's office as far as what's going on maybe with this China trade deal and the tariffs until November 10th? That's kind of an open book. Or with any other countries and any other tariff situations?
Yeah, we had a meeting on Wednesday morning at the White House, and one of the USTR representatives was there. His big thing that he wanted to talk about was that during a couple weeks ago on the Truth Channel, President Trump said he was going to raise soybean sales to China by 400%. Well, 400% from 2 years ago level would be awesome. Most likely not going to happen with the current negotiations that we're hearing, and 400% from zero is nowhere near enough. So if we're going by the date that he announced, we haven't had any sales to China yet this year. So looking forward, are we looking at a small number or a large number? And currently from all folks that we're hearing from, it looks like it's going to be closer to a small number than a large number, which is putting the soybean farmers in this country in a world of hurt.
What kind of message do you take back to Farmers Union members about the positivities in agriculture? Because let's face it, without agriculture, we don't have a country.
Right. You know, just keep your heads up, keep talking, keep telling your stories. Make sure that your neighbors that might not agree with you on the political side hear your stories too, because we can't continue to give free passes to our elected officials that really aren't doing their job and making sure that they're protecting the incomes, but also the rural communities around the state of Wisconsin here to make sure that agriculture stays a viable business, but also provides a healthy food source to not only people in our local communities, but our country and other folks around the world that really need it.
And we'll let you out of here on this. If you had to make a wager, how much would you be willing to bet that Congress comes up with even this Farm Bill 2.0 before the end of this year?
I would say at this point we're probably less than 50%. There's going to have to be an extension of the Farm Bill at some point, because there is the Dairy Cliff thing is still hanging over there. That is not something that they could do under the Big Beautiful Bill. It was a procedural thing that they were not able to get done. So, you know, something's going to have to happen before the end of the year. But actually, seeing the Farm Bill 2.0, I would say is under 50%.
Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, just returning from Washington, D.C., in conversations with the Congress. From the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire, I'm Bob Bosold.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report. News from the Center, WRCE.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. A new analysis from Clean Wisconsin shows AI data centers in the state will use more power than all the homes in Wisconsin combined. Potential energy demand has been disclosed for just two projects in the state, the Vantage Data Center in Port Washington and Phase 1 of the Microsoft Data Center in Mount Pleasant. Those two projects alone require a combined 3.9 gigawatts of power, which is enough energy to power more than 4 million Wisconsin homes. Wisconsin has just under 3 million housing units in the entire state. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced Senate passage of a bill that will help protect Wisconsin lakes from toxic algae. The legislation would improve monitoring, forecasting, and prevention of harmful algal blooms by requiring better coordination among task force agencies, state and local entities, and tribes. Right now on the Defender podcast, the Wisconsin Climate March is coming. Listen to find out more at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we get to know one candidate for Secretary of State, another for the state Senate District number 17, all coming up. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Into the weekend as well, and it's misting there now. Two Rivers reports some fog this morning. And then, you know, Butch from Alto also says he's hoping to get back to corn silage today, but I understand that there are some chances of rain in the forecast. It's time now for your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with Stu Muck. And Stu, what is the word on those rain chances this week?
There will be some on and off rain chances, Stephanie, no doubt about that. And I'm looking out to the west, Eau Claire, to Wausau, down toward La Crosse, seeing rain this morning. Eau Claire's picked up 44 hundredths of an inch already this morning. Add to that what they had over the weekend, 72 hundredths of an inch. I see Wausau at an inch and six-tenths. Park Falls, 57 hundredths of an inch for the weekend. My friend John right here, eastern Fond du Lac County near Sheboygan County, three-quarters of an inch. Milwaukee, 11 hundredths. Racine, 8 tenths of an inch. Those are the weekend totals. And like I've said, still rain in the west. And that rain extends right up into Wausau, Rhinelander. It's been through Eau Claire, but will push east and a little southeast during the day. Maybe a bigger factor is a dense fog advisory as well. That's in Washington, Ozaukee, and Sheboygan counties and areas north. Of course, we're talking Winnebago County, Manitowoc, up the lakeshore, Waupaca, Outagamie, Shawano County, all under that dense fog advisory till 8 and 9 this morning. Patchy fog anywhere else around the state as well. So low pressure is held up to the west. Wavy warm fronts across from western down towards southeast Wisconsin this morning. It will push a bit further north and may very well keep that line of showers going across northern and central Wisconsin right on later this morning into the afternoon. Almost all of us, some kind of a chance of a little scattered hit or miss shower or storm, if not today on toward tonight, or maybe into the day Tuesday, hopefully not going to provide the kind of rain we've been seeing already, 4 tenths of an inch or more, but there'll be some rain chances around. That's the unfortunate part. Temperatures cool a little on toward Tuesday and Wednesday, but turn around the end of the week. I wouldn't be surprised by some 80s again by Friday or to start the weekend. So still sounding kind of summer-like, no doubt there. But unfortunately, still that hit or miss rain chance keeping us guessing if we're out in the fields getting something done or not. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Next on our Corn Hall of Fame tour, Pioneer brand PowerCore and List Corn.
Ooh, look at all the trophies.
Yes. PowerCore Enlist beats competitors with a 7.7 bushel per acre yield advantage. Three distinct modes of pest control action and unsurpassed herbicide flexibility mean above ground pests and weeds can't win.
But what if they try?
They wouldn't dare. Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
Well, that next crop progress report comes out this afternoon from the U.S. Department of Agriculture. I'm looking forward to seeing how much progress we've made, especially with corn silage. And boy, Stu, if 80 degrees are expected later this week, I bet some field work can get done.
Oh, I'm sure of that, but we have to talk about some of that rain. That rain in central, from west central to north central Wisconsin this morning will push east. Some cloudy skies there, of course. Temps in the low 70s in the far north. Mid and upper 70s in the south, but we all have some kind of a shower chance. That fog in the east, be alert for that. A little rain chance yet tonight, especially in the east and south. Otherwise, mostly cloudy. Low 60s and upper 50s for nighttime lows. Southwest winds becoming west about 5. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. Still a slight chance for a scattered shower, I'd say almost statewide. Temps ought to be in the low to mid 70s with the north breezes at 5. A little better chance to stay dry Wednesday, Stephanie, but a slight rain chance again. Some clouds, maybe a little clearing in the west. Low 70s and upper 60s. Wednesday, kind of the cool day. We should turn it around after that, like I talked about. Warmer as we start toward the weekend.
And looking forward to hearing from our texters this morning. Our rainfall reporter is 877-301-FARM to let us know what you're seeing. That's your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Just visit compeer.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, where he's joined by Hans Breitenmauser.
There were at least a couple of rural sheriffs that were passing emails back and forth about not necessarily cooperating any further with ICE, seeing how things were being handled. And really, Hans, I mean, it's about going after brown people first and foremost. Yes. But in Trump's case, he's like, well, as long as we're going after brown people in the blue areas, the white people in the red areas who need the brown people to make money are going to be okay. That sums up Donald Trump in a nutshell.
Well, I think you're right. Unfortunately, I think that's kind of where we're at. And obviously, all these things are more complicated than we'd like them to be. But that's reality. That's what it means to be a grown-up. Things are complicated sometimes. And what I can say is that the dairy industry falls completely apart in the state of Wisconsin without foreign born employees. We need a mechanism by which we can have people from other countries coming in and doing jobs in this country. Otherwise, the economy just doesn't work. Any economist worth their salt will tell you that. This isn't, economics needing a PhD. This is simple math. And so anybody that can't see past the idea that we're simply demonizing a group of people and scapegoating them, they're simply kidding themselves. And I'm willing to forgive people for that, but I have a hard time forgiving policymakers for that, because by God, they should know better.
Yeah. My response to that is, when it comes to racial politics and Donald Trump and the MAGA wing, sometimes things really are as simple as they might seem. But that's my whole two cents on it. I got just over a minute left and wanted to ask you in general about June Dairy Month. There have been activities that are going on. And I always worry that as the years go by and as more of these factory farms come in and people start taking things for granted, do you still feel like all these June Dairy Month activities, they make a dent, they help folks around Wisconsin appreciate what's going on? Or are you more concerned that maybe it's not, what it used to be?
Well, I don't think it's what it's used to be. It's hard not to be nostalgic for the days when there were 13 dairy farms on my road, and now there's only three of us left. The dairy industry has changed a great deal, but I do feel like the June dairy events are well received and well attended, and they go to some very nice farms, some large and some small, and it does help the public appreciate, what the dairy industry contributes to the state economy, and helps educate non-farmers on what happens on real farms. And I getting back to the earlier conversation, I hope that as we go forward, part of that conversation is the fact that there's brown people that work on those farms as well.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump is promising an announcement today on autism. The Washington Post reports the administration will suggest a link between Tylenol use during pregnancy and autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says it believes that independent science shows this is not true. The administration's also expected to tout cancer drug leucovorin as a potential treatment for autism. But autism expert David Mandel of the University of Pennsylvania says,
we need to do large-scale randomized trials before we can say with any certainty that this is a treatment that autistic children should receive.
Tens of thousands of people paid tribute to Charlie Kirk in an Arizona memorial service Sunday. President Trump spoke after Kirk's widow told the crowd she forgives the man who killed her husband because it's what Charlie would have done. The UN General Assembly begins today. The war in Gaza expected to be a main topic all week, as several countries have now said they recognize a Palestinian state. This is ABC News.
The Packers losing Cleveland. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A huge upset. The Packers losing to the Browns, 13-10. The turning point, Jordan Love throwing an interception late in the fourth quarter, allowing the Browns to tie up the game.
No, we're running a triple slant concept, and they're in man coverage. And, you know, I'm trying to work Wicks right there, number two. You know, the safety that was guarding Tucker, you know, fell off that, passed it off, and got in the window right there, and I didn't even see him.
Up next, they face the Cowboys in Dallas on Sunday night. Wisconsin lost 27-10. Maryland. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell reacts to fans in the stands chanting "Fire Fickell."
They're passionate about what they want to see, and that's what you love about this place.
The Brewers play the Padres tonight in San Diego. They clinched the divisional title again, but had to place Brandon Woodruff on the 15-day IL with a lat strain.
Played catch on Friday. Felt like it was normal stuff. Yesterday, tried to throw a pan, and something felt a little different.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Pete Schwabba. On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I'll be joined in studio by singer-songwriter Eric Jelen and UW Cinematheque's Jim Healy, and I talk about Robert Redford. Let's light it up state capitol style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. Some patchy fog possible early, otherwise more clouds than sun, with an isolated shower or storm possible late in the afternoon, highs in the mid-70s. Again tonight, an isolated shower or storm, otherwise mostly cloudy, a mild night with lows near 60. Right now, it's 57.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
ABC capitulating, pulling Jimmy Kimmel off the air. Mark Jacob.
Fascists look for pretexts. They want excuses to do terrible things. The right wing is looking for excuses to become even more authoritarian than it already is. The Turk thing is their pretext. 2 months ago, Trump was posting about getting rid of Jimmy Kimmel. It didn't have anything to do with Charlie Kirk. Not a thing. That's just a pretext.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt and Air on Air.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here.
I also don't want to, you know, sit and doom scroll before I go to sleep at night because that's not good for my brain. It doesn't help my sleep patterns. Right. And
my brother-in-law, you went to medical school with him. He said at 2 hours, turn off all screens. At 1 hour, get yourself ready for bed. And he goes, and Greg, bed is for two things. That's it.
What are they?
Moving on.
Sleeping in
chess. Listen to you laugh.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent episode of Matt and Air on Air. Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Von Ruden joins the show to talk about the LFPA program.
The LFPA program, Local Food Purchasing Assistance Program, and you know, here in the state, it's been 189 farmers have benefited directly from that because those payments come to the farmers in the beginning of the year and make sure that they have the cash on hand to put the seeds in the ground to grow the crops.
Yeah, this program seems like a win-win to me. It's good for the farmers who are incentivized to produce this food. It's good for the food pantries. It's not like the government is coming to Wisconsin farmers and saying, you have to grow X acres of food, and then I want you to give it away to hungry people. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. You know, there's a payment-based system there on what the farmer is going to produce for this market that's been established. It's there. It's also something that's getting, you know, that those fresh fruits and vegetables more directly into the consumer hand and making it more available for more people. You know, when we look at what's going on in the general grocery store aisles, you know, most of those products are not fresh anymore.
Right.
They're getting to be a week or 2 weeks old because of the distribution network. They go from the farm to a processor to a distribution center, and you got a whole week that's passed already before it ever gets to that local grocery store shelf. So, you know, this is getting something in people's mouths within 72 to 96 hours from when it was picked off the land. And, you know, why aren't we doing more of this across the whole country, you know, versus depending on a food system that's really broken at this point?
Well, and again, now we're talking about making more restrictions for people who do receive food stamps and those kinds of benefits. We want to restrict what they can buy in the stores because we want them to buy healthier things. Mm-hmm. And then yet at the same time, we're going to take away these healthier options and hurt our farmers at the same time. There's so much stuff working at cross purposes in this bill.
Yeah, it is, you know, and certainly we would like to see the farm bill, you know, pass as it is. There's a ton of improvements that can be made, but in this current political situation, that simply isn't going to happen. But let's pass the farm bill as a farm bill and not have it in this big, beautiful bill that's going to, you know, be a detriment to the whole country, not only on the budget deficit that we're going to see, but also, you know, the programs that are being cut and not being helpful to, number one, the American farmers, but number two, the consuming public.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
On the Road, 1670 AM.
Get ready. September 22nd isn't just the first day of fall. It's also a day packed with potential. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke here on the Midwest Farm Report. And according to the Old Farmer's Almanac, this date marks the autumn equinox, when day and night are about equal and we officially welcome in the new season. But that's not all. It's also a prime time for harvesting above ground crops. My tomato plants are still producing. It's also a good time to start a weight gain diet. So bring on the pumpkin pie, pumpkin spice, or pumpkin ice cream from Culver's. And it's even the right time for setting posts or pouring concrete if you've got outdoor projects lined up. And tonight, you're going to want to look up because the moon will be near its closest point to Earth, a perfect time for some stargazing. That's what's happening today in the Old Farmer's Almanac on this first day of fall. As farmers get busy in the field, you're going to notice more tractors and other farm implements on the road. But are you prepared to share the road safely?
I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and here to give some tips on how to safely maneuver around this farm equipment is Lieutenant Bill Berger with the Wisconsin State Patrol Motor Carrier Investigative Unit. He says along with their size, the speed at which they travel is also something to keep in mind while driving.
Well, we all know that, you know, spring and fall, it's the busy season for agriculture here in Wisconsin. And at that time, we end up seeing a lot more ag vehicles on the roadway. So just because of that fall timeline, people need to be more aware of the presence of farm machinery. When you're coming on some of these town and county highways, you know, you run into more hills and things like that where visibility might not be as good as on a state or federal highway. Just be aware of that potential, that blind hill. There might be something on the other side of it to be preparing for before you even see it or know it's there. Just be conscious of those type of things. Something else to be concerned with is just be looking for the slow moving vehicle signs, the SMVs. They're the orange triangular sign that's pretty common to see in Wisconsin on the back of implement of husbandry type units. And those are going to warn that driver that, hey, we're going to be approaching that vehicle pretty quickly, because by default, that SMV signs means there's a slow moving vehicle in front of me. And if they're traveling at highway speed, they're going to close that distance rather quickly. So just paying good attention. Don't be distracted. Put the cell phones down. Just pay attention to what's in front of you on these at this time of the year, as any time of the year.
And when it comes to passing, from my experience, farmers will typically let you around when it is safe, when they see that it is safe, and they'll move over. Is that something that you think people should know about, too, instead of just trying to scoot past them at any given moment?
Yeah, as far as passing implements, you cannot legally pass an implement husbandry in a no passing zone. There are some situations where you can legally pass some vehicles that are traveling very slow in a no passing zone, but it's very clear you cannot pass an implement of husbandry period in a no passing zone. So just be be patient. There will be a time up the road where you'll be able to safely pass. And I would also remind, I guess, the farmers at this point, too, that there are laws that say that nobody can impede traffic. And what I guess what applies to farmers in that case is, you sort of mentioned it, hopefully farmers will be paying attention to areas along the roadway where if they start accumulating traffic behind them, especially that commuter type traffic morning and afternoon, it can build up traffic pretty quick behind a slow moving vehicle. They should be looking for that opportunity to find a wing out area along the road, whether it be a extra wide shoulder, it might be a driveway, something like that, where they can just wing off a little bit, try to let people get around them and clear some of that traffic out if they can safely do that.
Lieutenant Berger also wants to remind Wisconsin residents that the stopping time for this large equipment is much longer than typical vehicles due to their standalone weight and the weight of grain being hauled on top of that. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thank you, Ben. Lieutenant Bill Berger will join us at the top of the hour tomorrow morning for an extended conversation, so be sure to tune into that. And stick around. We've got commodity markets and an update on how our pastures are looking this time of year on the way.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game. Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt. Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre. All right, here's the kick. It's good! Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
Dairy producers across the nation, start your engines. The road to Madison leads straight to the World Dairy Expo 2025, where innovation, education, and global dairy connections await. Join fellow dairy producers, industry experts, future leaders, and the finest dairy cattle in North America when the dairy industry meets in Madison, Wisconsin, September 13th through October 3rd. Make the drive and be part of the dairy event of the year. World Dairy Expo 2025, the road to Madison starts with you. Map your trip today at worlddairyexpo.com.
Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Get insurance from a company who knows Wisconsin and cares about your community. You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer competitive home and auto rates? Visit ruralmutual.com to learn more about products and discounts.
Rural Mutual Assurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Commodity markets are not starting the week off any higher. From Chicago, December corn is down a quarter of a cent at 423 and three quarters. November soybeans are trading 6 cents lower at 1019 and a half. December wheat is down 2¾ cents at 519 and three quarters. July 2026 new crop wheat, that's down 2¾ cents as well at 559 and three quarters. The October class three milk contract is 8 cents lower at 1710. A hundredweight. The November contract down 7 cents at 1665. If we look at how cheese closed to end the week last week, on Friday, the 40-pound block was down 3¼ cents at $1.65. Double A butter closed down a nickel and a half at $1.75 per pound. Market advisor John Heinberg will join us live tomorrow morning. If you've got questions for John, don't be afraid to shoot us a text message at 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. That's our talk text line. So if you've got questions in advance that you'd like us to run by market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing, send them our way. Wisconsin's pastures are thriving this fall. Kylie Allen has the story. September and October are what Jason Cavadini, the Extension Grazing Outreach Specialist, considers to be optimal months for grazing. And he says this year is no different. And Jason tells us why we're seeing some of the best forage growth that he's seen in the last 10 years.
It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So, like, typically we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. That's because if you look at the normal growth curve of a grass, it'll slump for a while, kind of in the dog days of summer, I guess. But this year that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor. And now we're kind of coming into, I call September and October best part of the grazing season. And so we're coming into that now. And so we're kind of seeing a year where growth has been abundant from start to finish, even though we're not to the finish line yet.
And while we're in this best part of the growing season, is there any care that we need to do to make sure that we're maximizing the potential of that grass?
We talk a lot about trying to, having one of our priorities, keeping the grass and legumes vegetative. So basically what that means is if you're familiar at all with the growth stage, which a lot of us have even a minimal understanding. So like in the spring, grasses just take off growing, and then eventually we start to see seed heads. That means they've reached maturity. And then every day beyond that, forage quality goes down. If we've done anything to manage that mature material, to remove it, whether it's from grazing, harvesting, or clipping off seed heads, essentially what we're doing is setting that grass back to the vegetative stage. And grasses, most of them, only reach maturity once in a growing season. And so now we're not fighting against that anymore for the rest of the season. And so I would say that it should be the number one objective of anyone with animals on pasture is to get the most. We use the term utilization, which means to use as much of that material as possible. We want to keep it vegetative because we'll get less refusal from animals and actually the most gain because it's high in nutrients.
If I'm out looking at my pasture and I'm thinking maybe it doesn't look like you're describing as maybe yeah. full and flush as it could, why would you suspect that would be? What are some things I can do about it?
Well, it all starts with management. So we talk a lot about management in our grazing programming, and it's there's a lot of things that go into management. It all starts with understanding how many animals our land can hold. And that starts with setting our goals. So if our goal is to graze through September and October, we need to account for that at the very beginning of the grazing season and understand how many animals we can have on that pasture.
Jason Cavadini, the Extension Grazing Outreach Specialist. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Kylie Allen.
Kylie will have that full conversation with Jason Cavadini posted to MidwestFarmReport.com today. You can check it out on our podcast page. World Dairy Expo is just days away. We're talking about it with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin next.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Earlier this summer, the Trump Justice Department requested states turn over massive amounts of voter registration, balloting, and election administration records. Two states which refused the request, Maine and Oregon, are now being sued by DOJ. The Brennan Center for Justice counts 34 states which received data requests from either the Civil Rights Division, formerly a watchdog for voting rights, or from DOJ's Criminal Division. New Hampshire cited state statutes prohibiting the release of such information, but Indiana confirmed it recently sent DOJ personal information, including driver's license and partial Social Security numbers. Maine received its first request in mid-July, which it declined August 8th, citing a lack of justification. DOJ's statement announcing the suit said, quote, American citizens have a right to feel confident in the integrity of our electoral process, and the refusal of certain states to protect their citizens against vote dilution will result in legal consequences, unquote. Vote dilution refers to alleged widespread voting by non-citizens, an already debunked conspiracy theory from the 2020 and 2024 elections. The Trump administration confirmed last week it was sharing the voter data with the Department of Homeland Security. Secretaries of State Shanna Bellows in Maine and Tobias Reid of Oregon have vowed to fight the request in court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. If you love Just a Bit Outside, the film about the Brewers, you're going to love the new film about Wisconsin sports from Sean Hamish and Paul Jaconi Berry. They're here next time with their exclusive announcement. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Pleasure. World Dairy Expo is something we all look forward to every year. It's really the premier gathering of dairy producers, industry leaders, and enthusiasts from all over the world. And there's just nothing else quite like it.
What's your World Dairy Expo story?
I am going this year. I'm going to be there on Thursday. We have a lot of tours that also come this way from Dairy Expo. But we go probably most years. It's just a great place to enjoy. You see people that you haven't seen for a while. You have conversations about how others are doing farming per se. It's just a great place to just meet with folks.
It's like a family reunion, and then you get to meet people that you don't know that become part of the dairy family, isn't it?
That's true. And the longer you're in it, the more people you get to know. So it's a great place to go and talk to other farmers.
For those who are not as familiar with World Dairy Expo, what makes this event so special?
Expo is where the entire dairy community comes together. You have the very best dairy cattle show. You have a huge international trade show, cutting edge educational sessions, and thousands of people who share a passion for dairy. It's a chance to celebrate the industry, showcase Wisconsin's leadership, and connect with people who are shaping the future of dairy worldwide.
Wisconsin does have a big role to play in that story, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. Wisconsin is America's Dairyland, and that's not just a slogan. Our farmers, our cheesemakers, and our processors have set the standard for quality and innovation. When people come to World Dairy Expo, they see firsthand the care and pride Wisconsin dairy farmers put into their work. It's a reminder that behind every glass of milk or slice of cheese, there is a family farm that works very hard every day.
And luckily, milk and cheese is something that we can find at World Dairy Expo. I understand that Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin does have a new presence at Expo this year. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, we're really excited about this. This year, the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin container has a brand new location just outside the Tan Bark, right near the Badger Dairy Club grilled cheese stand. Those are so yummy. We invite all producers and attendees to stop by and say hello and learn more about how DFW is working to support our farmers and promote Wisconsin dairy. It's a great spot to connect, have conversations, and share ideas about where our industry is headed.
I'm definitely going to stop by, Kay, and hopefully I get to catch up with you there. But what can visitors expect if they stop by the container?
They'll be able to meet our team, ask questions, and learn more about programs that help build trust in dairy and expand opportunities for our farmers. And honestly, it's just a fun, welcoming place to gather. Plus, being right by the Badger Dairy Club grilled cheese stand doesn't hurt either. It's a perfect pairing.
Well, yeah, and you can get your spot in line while you visit with the DFW team. Before we wrap up, Kay, what message would you like to leave with dairy producers and expo visitors? I'll give you the last word.
World Dairy Expo is a celebration of everything we love about dairy, our cows, our farms, our people, and our future. I'd encourage everyone coming to Expo to stop by the DFW container, take part in the energy, and join us in celebrating Wisconsin dairy. Together, we're building a stronger, brighter future for this industry.
Kay Zwald along with us. She's a director with Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, representing Dunn and St. Croix counties. Kay joins us from her family's farm in Hammond, Wisconsin, where they milk about 1,400 cows in a rotary parlor. She's looking forward to World Dairy Expo, the meeting place for the global dairy industry. This will be September 30th through October 3rd. Don't forget to stop on by the DFW container. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local civic media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free civic media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
New study shows how expanding E15 sales can be a boon for corn farmers. That's ahead on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health campaign. Have you ever done a risk assessment on your farm or ranch? If you haven't, you should, especially if you have employees there. They may, in fact, be required by law where you are. In any case, it's not a bad idea and helps promote a safety mindset. You can find out online how to set one up. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. With the expectation of a record corn harvest this fall and the resulting decline in corn market prices, the industry is looking at the possibility of expanding sales of E15 blended gasoline. The National Corn Growers Association and the Renewable Fuels Association did a study of the potential impact of widespread year-round sales of E15. Scott Richmond is chief economist for the RFA.
We have shown over time that consumers will save as a result of E15. We've shown that quantitatively what they can save. And we've talked about the fact that if we get a substantial expansion or full adoption of E15 as a result of a legislative fix of being able to sell it year-round, that it would greatly benefit corn growers.
Richmond says there's a push on now to get this done before the end of 2025.
It looks increasingly likely that for the main budget, there will be a continuing resolution. And then there are other legislative vehicles that are likely to move forward between now and the end of the year. So we're cautiously optimistic about the prospects for being able to work this into legislation.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Darrell Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by Professor Howard Schwaber of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. We discuss what went down on Friday at the CDC and what that portends for expertise in America. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
And welcome back to our True Crime Podcast. Our guest today is Sean Cleary.
Wait, what? We are supposed to be doing a commercial about Cleary's storage, egg, and sports facilities.
Great point, Sean. It was a warm summer evening in 1978 when a young man with a hammer...
Whoa, again, not a true crime podcast. I want to talk about Cleary designing the building of your dreams.
In a world where things aren't what they seem.
Okay, give me that. Good grief. Visit clarybuilding.com today and experience the Cleary difference.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump is set to make an announcement today on autism. The Washington Post reports the administration is going to link Tylenol use during pregnancy to the development of autism. Tylenol's manufacturer says science shows this is not true. Autism expert at the University of Pennsylvania, David Mandel, says,
I'm very concerned that women who experience fevers will elect not to treat that fever because we know the fever is associated with poor child outcomes.
Tens of thousands of people, including President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and a number of cabinet members, attended the public memorial for Charlie Kirk in Arizona. The widow of the slain conservative activist said she forgives her husband's killer because it's what Charlie would have done. The San Francisco Bay Area was shaken awake by a magnitude 4.4 earthquake in Berkeley this morning. No reports of damage or injuries. And the 80th United Nations General Assembly opens today. This is ABC News.